On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hey folks, how's it going? John Potter back with you again Saturday 9 to noon. I just walked in and I checked out P-Fine this morning and I can't believe it because we had that scorching hot day. What was it, Thursday? And there's still snow on P-Fine. I've seen it before. It's not styrofoam. In Carson City, running the show, it's our good friend Phil. Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Good morning. I am so peachy, I'm keen.
Well, I will say from a distance, it does look like most of the snow is gone. But with binoculars, there's snow at the very top, especially on the north side, which faces us as I walk down Plum. And I would go with the tomatoes now. The next 7 days, no precipitation. And aside from Monday's cool down, nothing under 75 for a high. And if you start now on the tomatoes, you're already a couple of weeks late, I think. So it's definitely getting to be now or never. Second half of May says plant now.
It feels safe to me. Although I have to say, when I was driving from the North Valleys down here to Carson City, I was looking at the mountains southwest of Gardnerville, and it looked like the Swiss Alps over there. It's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you can drive it. Yes, people drive up there in Jeeps and stuff. I mean, most of the time you can't get through at all. People are starting to swim also in Lake Tahoe from reports I've heard. It's cold for sure, the lake, but there have been sightings like at Sand Harbor. There was a brave couple swimming there on Friday. Me only in late August, mid-July to mid-September, the lake is pretty warm. Or anytime it hits a triple digits in Reno, that's when I head to Tahoe. Unfortunately, everybody else has the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather is awesome right now. You got the bit of that cool breeze along with the sunshine. And as you heard Craig on the weather say, we're getting up to a nice high in the 70s, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I wasn't listening. 70. Okay, so the weather's a lot better than the traffic. What a hellish week we had for crashes in northern Nevada and even northern California. My gosh, last week, two pedestrians killed, and we had you got caught in a terrible fatal crash. Yesterday, was it, or Thursday?
It was on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, I was driving home from the dentist on Keystone, and I live up in the North Valleys, and I went from Keystone to McCarran, intending to get on McCarran to go to Virginia. And as soon as I got onto McCarran at Keystone, the traffic slowed down before you even get down the hill. What had happened at Virginia and Panther, there by the gas station, a bicyclist was killed. And whenever there's a fatal on the roads, they have to, it takes hours to investigate it. Mm-hmm. But my concern was, I was in line for an hour and 13 minutes to get to Parr Boulevard from Keystone.
Was there an escape route?
No, that's the problem. I was just going to bring that up. Once you get stuck on Virginia Street north of McCarran, you're stuck until you get to Parr. And
why do you take North Virginia in the first place instead of 395?
Normally to avoid the traffic. Normally I don't take Virginia Street home, but like I said, I was coming home from the dentist, which was on 4th and Keystone.
Okay, I gotcha.
And I was hoping the traffic on 395 while they're doing that road work can stink. So I figured, yeah, I'll just take Virginia Street. Wrong.
The only thing good about me losing the full-time job is not dealing with this traffic. And you know what? I had weird hours, but you know that 395 is always, always, always very busy. It doesn't matter if it's happy, if it's a rush hour or not. You know, it's it's a bit like Vista and Sparks Boulevard, which chased me out of Wingfield Springs. and unfortunately, there are no real plans to expand lanes anytime soon. Once they have the idea, it takes, 13 years to add another lane. Well, yes, just one more lane. That's all we want.
Well, when you have to file an environmental impact survey on your environmental impact report before you can even begin to get the permit to apply for permission to do something, you start running into trouble.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good news. We have giveaways today. We have show tickets. Comedian Sean Peabody and Aaron O'Connor are playing next Saturday at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Tickets on sale from the Carson City Nugget now, but we have five pair to give away this morning for five different winners between now and noon. Just keep listening this morning, and you'll go out to see the show next Saturday. Great seats, and your choice of show times, 6 or 8, to see a great show in Carson City. Free tickets. Local newsy stuff. You may remember a couple of months ago, we had the story from state wildlife managers who reported a wolf pack sighting in Nevada for the first time in over 100 years. A lot of people say, no, it wasn't 100 years. But anyway, it was a Nevada Department of Wildlife helicopter crew. They were doing a moose survey. Boy, there's a job I'd love. And they spotted three suspected wolves walking together north of Elko. State biologists said the tracks were consistent with wolves. I thought they were wolves. Well, it turns out after scat and hair tests, turns out they were actually coyotes. I saw the pictures of these three, and I thought at the time, if they weren't wolves, I thought they were like big huskies. Of course, I can't tell the difference between the two, but coyotes? Coyotes are scrawny, right? These are coyotes on steroids.
If they're well fed, they have a gym membership
somewhere in Elko.
I have insider information on the whole Department of Wildlife test they did. They released a roadrunner, and when Acme sales started skyrocketing, they determined they were coyotes.
You know what people, a lot of people, and I call them this too, yodies. You heard that? Coyotes are called yodies.
No, I haven't.
Anyway, I've heard of a monster. There is a monster coyote in the Carson City area. And in Fallon, the coyotes are named by hunters. They know them individually because they're yodies, they say, are smart yodies. In Fallon, the hunters swear that these coyotes have figured out how guns work, so that when they see one, they run out of the range or they dive into ditches. The coyotes do. They know what the gun, they know how the gun works out in Fallon and probably other rural areas. Hunters give certain coyote names, and they do this because those coyotes are the smart ones. Of course, now you got to consider I'm very gullible. So, I don't know if the hunters are pulling my leg or not on this, but smart critters. Walmart on Kitski is apparently getting rid of the of its self-checkout aisles. I heard the rumors about this a couple weeks ago. I think I mentioned this a couple of Saturdays ago, but a worker there told me they've been hiring like dozens of workers, like 60 or 70 real-life human checkout people. Maybe the great American self-check experiment has ended. Wouldn't it be awesome? Yeah, here's my idea. It would be, go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was wondering something I've wondered about Walmart specifically versus other stores that have self-checkouts. Just for an example, Save Mart is we'll go with that. When you scan something at Save Mart, a can of soup, you have to put it in your bag because there's a little scale there. Why didn't Walmart use that whole scale system?
I don't know how it works. You know, only people who are, Phil, only people who are devious trying to figure out how to get away with it would, I just use it. I don't know how it works. I think there's something to do with a camera there, too, that can, maybe somebody will call and tell us. We shouldn't be advertising that, though. But anyway, my idea for Walmart, though, if they added an upper level observation deck in their stores with a full bar, I would so go to that. It'd be more profitable. Mark my words, it'd be more profitable than the store. People, there are so many things on the internet, pictures and videos of what people do in Walmart, how they're dressed and everything. It's almost like a show at some of these Walmarts. And if they had an observation deck with a full bar, it would kill. It'd be more profitable than, especially like on Black Friday. Can you imagine to see that show? To be honest, even a floor-level bar at Walmart would be a huge hit. We have openings and closings to talk about. It's all local here, folks. We're going to talk about Red Lobster. Also, did you hear about the downtown Reno movie theater not renewing its lease? And finally, I put my email address on my Facebook to generate some emails about the show, I chickened out after 2 days and took it down. It's a little too much to put up because I also put my phone number on that thing too. So, but I got two very good emails about things we did on the show last Saturday. So openings and closings locally, we'll get into next. Great guests coming up too this morning, including a candidate for U.S. Senate in Nevada. And also one of the candidates for the Reno City Council. All right, we'll have fun. It's 9:17. I'm John Potter, phone number 884-9910. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, back in a few. FM News Talk time is 9:17.
Is FM Talk.
There is a house in your
884-9910, number to call or text, and Phil will politely take your text and read it off to us this morning. Openings and closings I teased about. First off, I talked about the Red Lobster declaring bankruptcy story last Saturday, and since then, a lot of Red Lobsters I know, like the one in my birthplace, have already closed down. I don't know about the Reno one at Kitsky and McCarran there. I hope not. I mean, I still miss Long John Silver's. Still getting over that one.
Amen.
But as you know, as you all know, everybody's talked about this. It was this all-you-can-eat shrimp offer, which I'm so stupid. I'm the only one who never knew about this all-you-can-eat shrimp. Everybody else knew, and nobody told me. But so they started with this $20 all-you-can-eat shrimp to get people to come back into Red Lobster after COVID, and then they raised it. When they saw how much people were eating, they raised it to $25 all you can eat, and people still kept coming in. And they want people back in their restaurant. It worked. People came in. They bankrupted the place. TikTok was full of videos, people posting from their tables, boasting about how many they've had. 30, 60. There was some guy on TikTok. He was saying, "This is my 200th shrimp." 200. Damn, we are just slobs in this country. We probably even had some, little old ladies, bringing their biggest purses to load up too. If they close here, though, I will miss the fried shrimp. That they did well. The others, though, it's those little dinky peel and eat ones that are more work than they're worth. They gotta be the jumbo shrimp. There are also strong rumors that our downtown Reno's movie theaters may be no more because Cinemark not renewing its lease, according to downtownmakeover.com, and they may be out by the end of the year, which, listen, to be honest, if you've been there, is not much of a surprise, right? Because, well, many movies there, they played just for my wife and me, just for us.
I've been the only person in the audience a couple of times there, too. It's a true shame because I love that theater.
I love the location. I was kept waiting for when are they going to put the nice seats in because they recline just a little bit, just enough to frustrate you there, and the cushioning has gone very thin. Mm. And my poor butt, the same problem at Park Lane. But anyway, it looks like it's it, you know? But the good news is, according to the website, there's another theater company interested in taking over the space and turn it into, now these are very popular out like in Texas and such, a food, beer, wine, movie theater.
Well, even that sounds interesting. Salt Lake
City, even Salt Lake City has one of these where you have a table in front of your seat in the movie theater and you order pizzas and maybe a pitcher of beer. And high hopes here that a theater company, well, that would be Alamo Drafthouse Theater. That's the name of it. And it's a chain.
Dinner and a movie.
They might take it over downtown. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I would. Now, here's my favorite movie theater would be one that doesn't run 20 minutes of ads, actually kicks people out for talking and arriving late, and theaters that ban noisy cellophane items that people buy at the snack bar, if I had to
then
choose.
I know the theater for you.
What is it?
The West Wind Drive-In on El Rancho.
Yeah, okay.
I love going there because you
How
don't
is that?
Have
because
those.
Hmm? I haven't been there since the 1970s, to be honest with you.
It's terrific. The prices are cheaper than the actual theaters. You don't have to worry about other people's cell phones. Your chair, the one in your car, is always comfortable. I love going to the drive-in, and it's always a double feature.
Do they have a rule like I have a pickup truck? And I know a lot of people where the drive-in theaters that allow this, you can park your pickup truck in the drive-in theater backwards so that you can set up a bed or something in the bed of the pickup truck. Really? Okay. I thought
they
some,
do that with vans, too.
I thought some places had rules against that because your headlights are pointing at somebody else or something, or the windshield kind of blocks anyway.
The vast majority of the people are aware of this, and they are very careful about their headlights shining into other people's eyes. They try to avoid it as much as they can.
Great. Is this the one that's off Audi?
El Rancho and Audi right over there.
There's a bunch of people who live in the apartments around there who are very cool people that I got to meet. Gosh, I don't know what the occasion was, but really friendly folks out there. Mm-hmm. They was some of the apartments, like nightclubs, people going in and out. The doors were open during the summer having drinks. That's the old Reno that I miss.
The old speakers that hung on your window, they're gone. You get your
on the radio.
You get through the radio, through in stereo sound, and if you have a really good radio system in your car, it is awesome. And the popcorn, which is very important in a movie, is cheaper, too.
You kind of got to run the battery, though, huh?
And yeah, that's okay.
Run the radio. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. It's only a couple hours. And if you're just running your radio, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. And if you're really worried about it, just start your car after about an hour for a few minutes. That'll take care of it.
See, I'm old. I worry about things. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Our first guest is locked out of the building.
Yes,
so
he
gotta
is.
So I got to leave early. Okay, I got to leave early on this break and let him in. City council candidate for Reno. And so we're going to break for Fox News, Phil, if that's okay with you.
Sounds good
and,
to me.
And we'll be back with our guest in just a couple of minutes. I'm John Potter, as always, 884-9910. Maybe you want to ask our candidate a question for Reno City Council. I'll tell you all about him coming up. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time is 928.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having technical issues right now. We will get back to our programming just as soon as we can.
Yeah, my man. All right. Hey!
We're experiencing technical difficulties right now. We will be back to our regularly scheduled program just as soon as we can. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having technical problems here at the station. We will be right back to our program just as soon as we can. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having technical difficulties. We will be back to our program just as soon as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having technical difficulties here at the station. I'm proud to say, John, that we are back.
All right. Thanks, man.
No problem.
I won't talk about the music. I'll leave you alone. In our studio... Michelangelo Aranda for Reno City Council, Ward 6. Now, we have a new district, folks, in the city of Reno. And for the first time, we're electing a new city council person to a new ward. And it's Ward 6. The incumbent for this area, in which is southeast Reno, and also Damani Ranch in the Virginia foothills, is Naomi Dewar. She served for like 10 years. She's now running for state senate. So no incumbents in this race for the new ward, Ward 6. And this covers a lot of people. This might be your next city council person. Again, southeast Reno, Damani Ranch, Virginia foothills. So seven people are running for the city council seat. This one, we're going to let you get to know one of them, Michelangelo Aranda. Michael, hey, thanks for coming out, my man.
Hey, John, thanks for having me.
We had a great conversation while we were off there. Sorry you missed it. Well, let's start here with how long have you resided here, sir?
Yeah, I was born and raised here in Reno. So my parents immigrated here in the 1970s. They wanted a better life for their kiddos. And so I was born here. I went to school here, and I've just stayed here.
Okay, I asked where you're from. Because you're Filipino.
Yes.
But you were born here. You spend all your time, your whole life in Reno.
Okay. A majority of it, yeah.
I ask these questions to weed out the 1 to 2 year Californians.
Yep.
And how have you seen Reno changed over the years you've been here, Michael?
You know, the first couple decades of my life, it stayed stable. Nice, small college town. Loved it. Loved the neighborhoods that I was in. The last 10 years, I would say, it just boomed crazily for the better and also for the worse. It's just expanded, and it's been crazy to see how much it's grown and how much it's changed.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah.
From everybody I've talked to, nobody likes it. And you are in the district which is growing the fastest in Reno. And you have an issue over how the city is handling it. What is that issue?
Yeah, the issue is it just developed too fast without any type of sensible development plan. There isn't any type of intentional way of structure, infrastructure, as they're just continuing to build the houses out. To give an example, in my ward, we have Fire Station 12 that was built about 10 years ago, servicing the entire South Reno. We have to borrow from the Truckee Meadows Fire in order to help service if there's any extra fires that are happening in that area. So 44,000 residents, one fire station. Not okay.
And that fire station originated when, at what time period? Because I'm thinking that the audience for that particular fire station is probably more than tripled.
Absolutely. It was built when there was barely anything out there. This was around 2014.
And they have to handle how many people in this ward?
About 44,000.
44,000 people. How many fire engines are in the station?
I believe there's two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're doing the Lord's work with very little.
Well, you say we need to change some standards about growth when it comes to new development. Specifically, how?
So what's frustrating is as they're continuing to build, and I was listening to you before I came in, so I was trying to relate it, the roads, the infrastructure with the roads, the small roads, they're building these houses, and they know they're going to. These have been zoned for houses and density for years and years and years, for decades, about 20 years, and they just kind of have it approved already. So specifically in South Reno, a lot of these PUDs and a lot of these areas where the homes are being built have been pre-approved 20 years ago. And now the developers are just building, and now we're retroactively fixing the roads. My neighbors would understand on Steamboat Parkway, they're expanding that one finally to the detriment that it's a little too late. And by the time they finish it, who knows, we might double in size again. They're already having talks of more housing in that area. So.
Is there room in your ward in this area?
There is. There has been room, if only they had built it earlier. Fortunately, a lot of that was empty land. And so when they're creating the master plan for it, they did have the ideas to have bigger roads. They just didn't do it until it was too late.
Well, in my where I live, Old Southwest, there's no room. And we have the growth, so now they are pushing through these apartment complexes in the middle of a residential district, right off Arlington by Mount Rose Street. There, yeah, you're shaking your head. So am I. I mean, that's imagine. Okay, home values. That sounds a bit selfish, but still, these people put their savings and their lives into their homes, and the home values are going to nosedive with the apartment complex next door. The whole character of the neighborhood is going to change. And I believe the people in Southeast Reno, Damani Ranch and Virginia Foothills don't want the same thing.
No, they don't. They tried. City Council had an item before them not too long ago about trying to upzone to try to find us that extra housing. I was there. I spoke up. That's not a solution to the lack of housing. In my opinion, we don't have that huge of a lack of housing. The more housing you build, the more people are coming here. And as great as it's been to build up people in Reno, maybe we should focus on Renoites first and then try to solve that solution with our homeless population before we have more people move here because we're building them more houses.
People do move here because, okay, they're getting away from the Metro California lifestyle. Oh, traffic is so great in Reno. So they move here. You know, traffic is a big reason why people move here because they've been stuck so many times in California traffic jams. Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that when they come here for that reason, that perk disappears.
Yeah, because they're making it now. They're making it Reno's problem now. And, you know, it's
right.
Just.
Yeah. Your background here, you are a parks commissioner. So how does that relate? How will that background help your position on the city council?
Yeah, so I've always had a passion for our parks and our open spaces. I was appointed last year to the Washoe County Regional Parks and Open Spaces Commission. Where part of the purview is overseeing some of the policies or some of the budget for the parks such as Rancho San Rafael, South Valleys Park, North Valleys Park, and anything that's unincorporated Washoe that's open space that requires permitting. And I want to take some of that because those are the most used parks in the region. They're some of the most beautiful parks. And take some of that background into the Reno parks. Some of the Reno parks are dilapidated. Some of the Reno parks aren't getting as much love as they want because they're underfunded. I like what the county has done. It supplements a lot of its income by holding events in its park, by having auxiliary income, by including special things like a water park or splash pad, charging entry for it. You can make up that income without raising taxes and have beautiful parks.
Well, you being on the city council, you wouldn't have really any effect on a county park, though, right?
No. Currently, I have an effect on a county park being on the Parks Commission.
Yeah.
But for the city, I would have an effect on city parks, which need more love.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. And you're a paraeducator. You work with special ed kids.
Yes. So I work at my son's school as a part-time paraeducator. I'm in that classroom with students that are neurodivergent on different scales. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most beautiful things to see these kiddos and their brightness and being able to help them out to give them the tools and resources they need to succeed.
So we got seven people Michelangelo, running for this same city council seat in Ward 6. Why do you think you have a shot? Do you think, really? I mean, you're nodding your head. Okay, you're an unknown, but why do you think you have a shot in this?
I'm confident in my ability to kind of unite and excite people. I am very actively engaged in my community. I ensure that I listen to my neighbors. I have served on nonprofits. I've raised money in the community. And so I think a lot of my community engagement is what separates me out from a lot of the other candidates in the race.
And do you have anything to say about these other candidates? I think one of them is super tied in with developers.
Yes.
And I mean, I looked at the how this person's funding is, and it's big money from developers. Folks, you can find out by looking it up on the internet. You don't have developers donating to you?
Not at all. So an update to that report, I had also posted to my social media. I've now raised about $2,000, all from friends, family, and neighbors. Not a cent from a business, not a cent from a developers, and that's the way I'm going to keep it.
Have you run for office before? Is this politics first time for you?
Politics first time.
Okay. All right. You are confident. Awesome. Final minute. Anything you'd like to say to your prospective voters right now?
Just to, you know, if it's not me, and I do hope it is me, just get out and vote. It's very important. This is going to be the very first representative of our fastest growing ward in Reno. I'm always available. My phone number, my personal phone number, is on my website, randolphreno.com. Shoot me a text, call me. I've gotten emails already from some of my neighbors. I'm always happy to have a coffee and chat about the problems, because that's the only way that we're going to solve the issues.
What's your website again?
www.arandaforreno.com.
Aranda for Reno. That's A-R-A-N-D-A for Reno. Awesome. Michelangelo, really a very impressive man. And it's a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Likewise, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll try to get a lot of candidates here, but impressive. Michelangelo Aranda for Reno City Council Ward 6. I'm John Potter, taking a break right now. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 947.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hot off the presses. Hey, girl, is your heart a catalytic converter? Because I'm about to steal it. Come on. Come on. They would laugh. That would work. Okay, it's all in the delivery. I'm John Potter, live and local. 884-9910 is our phone number. I, you know, finally, I posted my direct email on my Facebook page, and I got three messages from some good folks. Hey, for me, that's a lot, you know. By the way, and I took it down because I chickened out, you know, my phone number on Facebook. But, you know, these texts, I'm old school. To me, talk radio was all about phone calls. And I haven't adjusted to how different it is now from my early days in radio. People, especially younger folks, they prefer to text or Facebook message. They don't really talk on the phones like we had to when it was the only alternative. I know a small business owner who is in a business where they get a lot of phone calls. And he was hiring salespeople and younger people. And they would not use the phone. They would do all their, you know, marketing by online and everything. They really felt uncomfortable using the phone. They don't really talk on phones like we had to, you know. I found this out like 15 years ago when I put up a car for sale. Not one phone call, but I got close to 100 texts that said, "Is it still available?" You know, even email to young people is old. Old hat. So I thought I'd open up my Facebook for the show. The Facebook's not a very big Facebook. I only have 47 friends because I'm so darn unlikable. But it does have some 500 people, you know, they call it favoriting, who see my posts. So, yes, I got three messages when I put up my email. And here's one email. John, your last call today. Okay, this is referring to last Saturday's show. Person says, well, you know what? With email, you can't tell if they're male or female. But a person says, I'm curious as to why you found nothing wrong with that awful campaign mailer. How awful that homophobic campaign mailer was depicting Devin, City Councilman Devin Reese in drag. Please reconsider. You sure talk a good game about compassion and seeing both sides of the issue. Can you not see how offensive this is? Phil, have you seen this mailer?
I have only seen pictures of it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, on the news?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a big deal on the news. They made a very big deal about it. Can I see how offensive this is? Well, I can, but it doesn't matter because, like I said last Saturday, we have been conditioned to know that there is no dignity in campaign mailers. And to say that a campaign mailer has standards is it's a pretty naive thing to believe. I already assume each one is full of cherry-picked facts and outright lies and omissions. I mean, these mailers are as low as they go. These candidates will never give a true impression of their opponent or themselves on these handouts. They will always take the opponent's face and make it dark and black and white and make them look like Dracula. I mean, we're used to this, you know, and they don't seem to understand that the candidates don't seem to understand that the public already assumes that these mailers, these print jobs are BS. And I'd say 98% of these mailers go straight in the trash. Yet they keep paying some ad person and direct mail company a lot of bucks to spread these things all over town. They don't work. I've lived in an apartment complex. I've seen how people treat their mail. And 9.8 times out of 10, people, the minute they see a mailer, you know, if it's from a business or especially a candidate, they don't give it a glance. It goes right in the trash can in the mailer room. There's no credibility with them. Really, honestly, those campaign mailers have standards. They're a waste of money, and they're not really worth my time talking about. You know, plus there's...
Can I interrupt you? What was the guy in drag? What was his name again?
Devin Reese. And... Well, he wasn't... I don't think he was in drag. They you know, photoshopped it, I think, and made it look that way.
My point being, we're talking about him, and we know his name. Mission accomplished.
Well, if you think a person's going to vote because this person was photoshopped with a drag outfit and and you're going to say, oh, there's the candidate for me, I guess you're right. I don't think that would happen personally.
I don't know if it's going to get him votes, but he is a topic of conversation where his opponents aren't.
Well, okay. I'll give you that, sure. The more times you say somebody's name, Listen, when Hillary Sheevy ran for mayor the first time, all she did was post her pretty face everywhere. People didn't know anything about her, and she won. You know, it's repetition. It's mm-hmm. good looks. Mm-hmm. Actually, to be honest with you, he did look good in that drag, I will say. But I'm a married man, okay? But, okay, aside from how stupid these mailers are and how nobody believes them, to complain about what somebody did to a campaign mailer about their opponent, something should be done about this. And listen, there's something called the Second Amendment, which is involved somewhere in this. Okay, that protects them, but it does not. The Second Amendment does not make a campaign mailer truthful.
You mean the First Amendment, right?
I'm sorry, what?
You mean the First Amendment, right?
One of those.
Yeah. Somewhere between 1 and 10, right?
I can't really hear you too well because the side headphone, I apologize, dear listener, a little inside information. The side jack doesn't work, and the one on the right is so loud I can't turn it down. So I've been not quite listening to you. I'm nothing to do with you, Phil.
Well, the listeners aren't listening to me either. It's all right.
Okay. Aren't we used to it? Okay, we're going to break for Fox News. We have a U.S. Senate candidate running for Nevada's U.S. Senate. One of Nevada's U.S. Senate seats. I guess you know which one. We're going to get go after Jackie here. 884-9910, number to call to ask a question on this. But we'll be back after Fox News on 99.1 FM News Talk Time, 958.